everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which airs every Friday night at this time. And tonight is a very special show. I'm calling it My Dinner with Emo, because it's a conversation with Emo Phillips, which took place at my home about 2 or 3 months ago. You'll hear us talk about his New Year's resolution at the end of it, and that explains why, because it was before New Year's. Emo is an amazing guy. He is, first of all, lovable to the nth degree. You just meet him and want to take care of him and make sure he's okay, and he's just a really darling man, and also a very, very bright guy. It was interesting to watch him go in and out of character during this interview. I hope you can hear some of it. In some cases, it was almost a visible transformation as to whether he was going to answer these questions with gags in character or whether he was really going to give me a straight answer. And in some cases, there's some pretty painful answers that he comes up with. So if you're a fan of his, I know you're going to like it. But if you're not, I think you may like it as well, because it has a lot of insights into exactly where comedy comes from and also what the life of a professional comedian is. It ain't all glory, folks. So anyway, without any further ado, here is My Dinner with Emo. Is Emo your real name?
Yes.
What's your middle name?
Strangely enough, I've never needed one.
You weren't given one?
No. Are middle names are for sissies.
Okay. At this stage of your career, how much of your life is spent on the road?
Well, about, I would say, about maybe... maybe, let's see, 8 months out of the year,
really?
Maybe.
That much, huh?
Yeah, a lot. Well, you see, the way it works, it's like a war. In other words, in a war, you shell the enemy with your big guns,
mm-hmm.
and then they're all discombobulated, and then the soldiers rush in with the bayonets. Right? And with the guns.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is with a career. Like, you do a show like an HBO special or a Letterman show or whatever, and suddenly you're very famous for a brief amount of time. And you have to take advantage of this brief amount of fame, and then you go out there and you try to make money on the road. You see?
Yeah.
Because fame is like plutonium. It is a half-life. I mean, you do a big show, and like the first week, maybe 1,000 people will come up to you. And the second week, maybe 500 will come up. And a month later, maybe just 100 people will come up.
Because in the interim, they'll have all seen other people.
Yeah, of course, which is good. And it keeps you honest. I mean, if it wasn't for that falling audience, I mean, people like Madonna couldn't make any money, and everyone would still be swarming up to Esther Williams. So it keeps you honest. So that's why I travel a lot.
And where do you live when you're not traveling?
Well, we maintain a place in Downers Grove. I live with my family, and I go back there, and then that gives me, you know, it encourages me to go on the road again.
What's the average week in the life of Emo Phillips like?
Well, let's just take the last week.
Okay.
I flew into Baltimore, and in the old days, I would spend maybe 10 hours a day writing material and 5 minutes a day doing interviews. And now it's reversed.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I've become a celebrity. I get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I do a radio interview with the Morning Zoo. You know? That's where they... they play like sirens and sound effects after every joke. And then I go back to the hotel room, and I go to sleep for maybe 5 hours. And then I do the show that night. And the next morning I get up at 7, do the interview, come back, and go to sleep. So I never get the proper REMs. And I'm always like hallucinating. And that's pretty much it. Just do interviews and do shows, you know? It's like Reagan.
You've probably seen more of the country than most Americans ever will.
It's all alike.
Any surprises for you out there?
It's just the whole country is alike. You can't even make fun of people's accents anymore. I mean, everyone talks alike. Everyone, all the malls, you know. I mean, it's very homogeneous. You know, the country's more homogeneous than Da Vinci.
Most states do not end with the letter A. The only ones that do are Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Arizona, California, Nevada, Alaska, Montana, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Indiana, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, South Carolina, West Virginia, East Virginia, and Missouri.
Do you have any problems going places in public?
People stare at me a lot. But they kind of did that before I got started, too, so there's too many variables to really make a comparison. People often come up and they say, "Are you Emo Phillips?" You know, and I say yes, and occasionally they'll give me a subpoena.
So you don't, you're not nervous about going out in public?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I'm not like Sean Penn or anyone. Yeah. Where I figure if you bogart your way into people's TV sets, then they have a right to bogart their way into your life. Don't you think? I mean, no, if I didn't want to be recognized, I would have been a Dukakis supporter or something, you know?
But you can eat a meal in peace at a restaurant.
Yeah. Until the Board of Health kicks me out. People come up to me concerned that I'll reproduce. Well, I don't know if I want to have kids, although I was a cute baby. My mom said when I was born, they threw away the mold. And some of it grew back. Yeah. Remember one day I'll never forget. I was about 6, and I was playing one day, and I saw the cellar door open, just a crack. Now, ever since I could remember, my parents always told me, "Emo, whatever you do, don't go near the cellar door." But I had to see what was on the other side if it killed me. And I went to the cellar door, and I pushed it and walked through, and I saw strange, wonderful things. Things I had never seen before, like trees. Grass. Flowers. The sun. That was nice. The sun. My parents were very protective. I couldn't even cross the street without them getting all excited and placing bets. My dad had very strict rules for me because he loved me. Rules like, oh, I couldn't be home until a certain hour. That type of thing. I had a very nice childhood. I had a very close relationship with this other kid. I was his imaginary friend. Yeah, I'd be in my backyard minding my own business. The other kids would call me names like Meatball Head or Neo Calvinist, and I'd run after them. But lucky for them, the chain would snap my neck back, and they would escape. Oh, memories.
Are your parents still alive?
Oh, yeah, they're still alive. They're very, very, except for my father. But half of them are alive. The female half is very much alive, and my dad is with me in spirit. And I hear his voice now and then talking to me. When I was a kid, my dad would say, "Emo, do you believe in the Lord?" I say, "Yes." And he'd say, "Then stand up and shout hallelujah." So I did, and I'd, you know, fall out of the roller coaster.
Did your dad live to see you perform?
Oh, sure, sure. He only died very, very recently.
What did he have to say about the way you treat him in your act?
Well, nothing really much about that. He predicted that if I went into comedy, it would result in an early grave. And I guess he was right, because he's dead now. But at first they were against it. But, you know, as soon as I laid that first $10 paycheck on the kitchen table, they came around pretty darn quick. But my mom is very, very proud. You know, remember when I did the first Letterman show? She said she was more nervous than she had ever been since she gave birth to me. And now it's like I've been on TV lots of times and they don't even watch anymore. It's like, oh, Emo's on TV. Well, you know. Is it convenient?
Is anything else on? Yeah.
Yeah, you know. I mean, what's McGiver doing tonight? That's when you know you're a big star. Plus, it's neat. I used to, you know, when you know people that are on TV, like they're friends of yours, mm-hmm. and you don't even bother to watch them. And that's when you really know you're starting to make it.
Yeah.
The Polynesian natives have a belief that if you take their picture, you take away part of their soul as well. And having hung around celebrities for the last few years, there's quite a bit of veracity in that belief.
Well, I hope it doesn't happen to you, Emo.
Oh, no, it's too far gone for that.
What kind of kid were you at age 8?
I was pretty much like I am now, except without the sex drive. I really haven't changed at all since 8. I remember the other kids were envious of me, and because they saw in me, I suppose, the next stage of genetic evolution. And they looked at me and said, "Wait a second, are we outmoded already?" And they beat me up out of a defense mechanism.
Were you beaten up a lot?
Well, yeah, almost every day. But like Nietzsche said, that which doesn't destroy me makes me stronger. Although personally, I'll take aerobics or something to having your brain eaten out by syphilis.
Have you run into people that used to beat you up as a kid? No.
Yes, in fact, our tree was hit by lightning. And this guy, we called someone to, you know, take a look at it from the tree service. And this guy, he said, "Oh, Emo, I knew you when you were a kid, remember?" And I said, well, I didn't say anything, but this was the guy that beat me up. So he lost $400 worth of work. Attention, you bullies out there. It'll come back to you.
Yeah, I went to school, you know. I was in grammar school. Once we were taking a test... I was copying this other kid's paper, and I guess the teacher heard my Xerox machine. And she said, "Emo, am I stupid or were you cheating?" I said, "Yes and no." She sends me to the principal, and I get to his office, and I sit down, and he looks at me, and he says, "Emo, Emo, Emo." I said, "I'm the one in the middle, you drunken slob." He said, "How would you like to repeat the fifth grade?" I said, "Well, I don't know if I could do it exactly. But I'll try." He said, "I could expel you." I said, "You all have to catch and eat me first, you weirdo."
Oh,
He said, Emo, you have to go to the school psychologist. I said, why do I have to go to the school psychologist? So he shows me the petition. And I go to the psychologist, and he says, Emo, what does this ink blot look like to you? I said, well, it's kind of embarrassing. He said, Emo, everyone sees something silly. Don't be embarrassed. Tell me what the ink blot looks like to you. I said, well, to me it looks like a standard pattern number 3 in the Rorschach series to test obsessive compulsiveness. And he gets kind of depressed. I said, okay, it's a butterfly. And he cheers up. He says, what does this ink blot look like? I said, it looks like a horrible, ugly blob of pure evil that sucks the souls of men into a vortex of sin and degradation. He said, no, the ink blot's over there. That's a photo of my wife you're looking at. Oh. I said, was I far off? He said, no, that's the sad part. And he gives me a chocolate Easter bunny, and this shows how tricky those guys are. I eat the chocolate bunny, and I think, wait a second, this isn't around Easter. Was this a test? He said, yeah. I said, what does it mean? He said, well, had you eaten the ears first, you would have been normal. Had you eaten the feet first, you would have had an inferiority complex. Had you eaten the tail first, you would have had latent homosexual tendencies. And had you eaten the breasts first, you would have had a latent Oedipal complex. I said, well, go on. What does it mean when you bite out the eyes and scream, stop staring at me? You know. He says, it shows you have a tendency towards self-destruction. I said, what do you recommend? He says, go for it. Memories. Live and learn.
Your humor occasionally deals with abuse. How much firsthand knowledge do you have with abuse? Serious question.
Oh, I know.
Pass on it if you'd like.
No, I'm not going to pass on it. Be kind of disgusting at this table. Well, I don't want to get onto a soapbox or anything, but, you know, I'm pretty much what I talk about on my records is pretty much what I went through. You know? I'm not making up stuff just to, you know. My parents raised me by the 3 magic words. Total sensory deprivation. And, but they had love, you know. We had a lot of love in our house as well as discipline. You know? It's like a 50-50 ratio. Spare the rod and spoil the child. No pain, no gain, as my dad would say as he'd hold my head in the vise. I had a normal childhood like everyone did.
Do you worry that your lighthearted treatment of abuse may lead to an increase of it? That people may, you know, you make it sound funny.
Well, I don't like to worry about... Man, that's... I mean, if you look at, like, the Three Stooges or Laurel and Hardy or Charlie Chaplin or all those guys, if, you know, I mean, then you won't have time to listen to me. So, I did those Dove Bar commercials. Do you remember those?
I do. I was going to ask you about them.
And, well, you might as well ask me about them.
Tell us about the Dove Bar commercials.
Okay, thanks.
I remember they aired on the Michael Jackson program out here.
I don't want to toot my own horn, you know. So you have to forgive me, but my manager is in here to brag for me. The producer of the station said, these are the funniest commercials I've ever heard, or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. Or he said they're among the funniest. And they played them on the air. These are for Dove Bar, which is it's like a gourmet ice cream bar. And the commercials, people were calling up all day and all week saying, some people said these are wonderful, and other people said, well, he's making fun of... See, what it was, I would do a minute, and at the end of the minute, I would just be like a joke, and I would have Dove Bar at the end, right? Just for my act, you know, just as I would tell jokes. And some people are calling and say, well, he's making fun of retarded kids. Where they got that, I don't know. Anyway, they had like a big controversy, like apartheid or abortion. Well, this Thursday, it was Emo's Dove Bar commercials.
I heard it that day.
Yeah, and the next day, they called me up and I did an interview with Michael on the phone. Well, the upshot of it is that a few months later, they had an awards ceremony for the National Advertising for commercials. And again, forgive me for bragging, but my commercial, it won the award for best commercial campaign nationally, mm-hmm, of 1985.
But they were pulled from KABC.
They were?
I think they were.
No. In fact, the Dove Bar commercial people, I mean the manufacturers, had to fly to L.A. because of all the excitement. They were running out of Dove Bars. That's why they pulled them. They sold out the Dove Bars because of all the interest.
Well, now you get an opportunity.
Because I made them famous overnight.
Who are your idols? Who do you look up to in the world?
You mean comedically?
Oh, we'll start with that, sure.
You mean comedic influences? Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, Flip Wilson, Dick Gregory, Godfrey Cambridge, Pygmeat Markham, Moms Mabley, Nipsey Russell, and of course, Bill Bixby.
Okay.
If I could just make one person laugh, I've already exceeded network sitcom standards. And the rest is gravy.
What kind of mail do you get from fans, and do you answer it?
Well, of course I answer it. I have maybe six women around the country who are very interested in me. They're groupies, I guess. I call them emophiliacs. I have six, and I get a ton of mail, but it's from the same six women. And I answer them, and they send me like skin samples and hair. And but it's nice. I have a nice loyal following.
How can people write to you?
In care of my manager. And to get the address, it's on the back of my... No, it's in the inner sleeve. I'm very crafty. It's on the inner sleeve of my two comedy records, which you so generously play. And you could just... So that's kept out of the fan mail as well.
What do you see yourself doing 10 years from now?
Well, what I'd like to see myself doing is standing in front of the mirror going, my gosh, whoever thought my hair actually would have gotten thicker? What I'll probably be doing, oh, I don't know. Like the Bible says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I would like to still be telling jokes, or maybe doing a movie, or else... I don't think I'm going to do TV. But maybe a play, or write a book if I have an accident. Or make another record.
Well, between now and 10 years from now, hopefully you'll make more than just one more record. Do you have movie ideas?
Movie ideas?
Yeah,
I have a lot of movie ideas. I'm going to start with short films. you know, like 5-minute films and mm-hmm. work my way up. I think it's a mistake to go right into a feature-length film. You know, I like to just, I don't know, I might do something like Emo's Big Adventure or, I don't know.
The Three Emos.
The Three Emos. Yeah.
What are your New Year's resolutions?
My New Year's resolution is I'm going to stay away from those cloth calendars. Because on New Year's, you always get a new calendar. Mm-hmm. And it's always one of those fabric, you know, those cloth calendars. And they're very pretty to look at. But, you know, once I spend 3 hours sewing in this dental appointment.
I think it's a good resolution.
Yeah.
Well, I think that about...
It's a high resolution.
That about exhausts the questions that I have for you.
Well, thanks for playing my records so much.
Well, I thank you. I like them, and I it's nice to have good records to play. I hope you make some more for us.
Well, my goal is for everyone to listen to my records and say to themselves afterwards, well, we got that over with.
Well, we got this over with. Thank you, Emo.
Thank you very much, homeboy.
Well, there you have it. That concludes My Dinner with Emo. And what can I say? Not just me. My wife, my 2-year-old, we all fell in love with him. He's a really adorable guy. And I wish him the best of luck. And I recommend to you his 2 records on Epic Records, Emo Phillips' E equals MO squared, and his 2nd album, Live from the Hasty Pudding Theater, excerpts from both of which we have heard within this program. And special thanks go out to Frank Buxton and his wife, whose name I believe was Cynthia, but I'm not sure, so apologies if I got that wrong, but they were both very helpful in helping me prepare for my dinner with Emo. And that's about it. Next week we'll be listening to those wild and wacky humorists, Irma Bombeck and Art Buchwald. You may think that they were only newspaper columnists, but each of them did make a record, and we will be listening to those records next week. And that's about it. The address, Bob Claster at KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. And be sure to enclose a phone number so I can get back to you. And that's about it. So until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.